Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show. We ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. And we're back with our 20th level, 33.1. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by special guest, Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up?
And three of our very special 33.1 patrons, Mr. Darren Kirscht.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Joey Deanberg.
Hey, how's it going?
And Mr. Mateo Santiago.
What up, guys? Go Knicks.
Okay.
Got the number four seed today.
Go New York, go.
Yo, we're working miracles right now.
Man,
Well done.
I checked the Rockets' record today. Ooh.
We're terrible.
I hadn't looked at what our actual record was for a while. It's pretty rough. But hey, 1994, man. Yeah, we got
That's
you
right.
back then.
Four.
So.
Gotcha, Knicks.
Anyway. Just to chime in, that was the year I was born.
Oh, that's right. You're super young. Yeah. Who is anyone younger than Joey? Born in 1994.
I was born in 96. I'm the youngest.
96?
Oh, God.
Get out.
Oh, man.
Independence Day, bro. Come on.
Oh, man. Dang, dude. I have students older than you. My God.
Well, and I just realized the Bears' first round pick, Justin Fields, was born in 99, and I feel old with that. So,
man, that's how you know you're never going to go pro. But anyway, sports ball, that's what you're here for. So,
hey, you never know, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, man, that is a one second on Tim Tebow. I cannot wait for him to come back because people hate Tim Tebow, and I'm like, you know what? Tim Tebow is the kind of guy you want your daughter to bring home with you, you know? So say what you will about Tim Tebow. It's just the guy's out there doing his best, working his hardest. And I think it's a genius business move for the Jags to get him. They should have got him 10 years ago, and they would have made
millions of
dollars.
If he was willing to
dollars.
Play tight end 10 years ago.
Yeah. So,
no. Yeah, that's the problem, because like if he thinks that he's going to play quarterback for the Jags today, he's sadly mistaken.
No, he's playing tight end, man. Everybody knows
yeah,
that.
So, give Lawrence somebody to throw to.
Yeah, there's nobody on their practice squad who's played tight end more recently than him in a real game, so that's fine.
Well, check out this segue. So much like the Jacksonville Jaguars, not interested in making money, neither is WB. Right?
There it is.
There it is.
Give the people what they want, right? And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And here we are. So we're talking about the Snyder Cut, at least for the group of us here are talking about the Snyder Cut. We haven't assembled, to quote the other superhero team, since the Snyder Cut came out. You know, I've talked about Snyder Cut a lot. You know, Lance has as well. But I'm really interested to hear what you guys thought. I mean, we've seen on social media, everybody thinks it's been a while. So maybe I feel like maybe the high tensions have settled down some, maybe. But there's always a hashtag every day you get online. There's new stuff going on. New stuff comes out every day. And it's a never-ending battle. But here we are, right? It's post-Snyder Cut. I'm going to start with Darren. Was the Snyder Cut everything you hoped and dreamed for?
For the most part, yes. Yeah. It was way better than, obviously, the Joss Whedon version, right? And, yeah, I mean, it was 4 hours of glory and awesomeness that a lot of it I already kind of knew was going to happen because of everything that was kind of leaked out, trying to get people, you know, more interested in it beforehand. But there's still some really cool surprises in there. And I love the Cyborg stuff. I love Steppenwolf's new design. I love the Superman stuff way more. No more mustache gate going on. I'm not going to say it's perfect because it's not. But I think all things considered, it's kind of a miracle that it's as good as it was. So I loved it.
I think that is a very level-headed assessment from a super Snyder fan. I respect that.
But I do have to say this, and I want to say this first to get off my chest. I listened, obviously, to your guys's, when you did your podcast episode of talking about the Snyder Cut. I did hear what Lauren had to say. And honestly, it's something I had never even thought about. I never thought of it in that way when I saw it. So when she was talking about that and she was so emotional, it really kind of made me kind of step back and kind of see it from a different perspective that I was not, that I didn't even think of. And I think she's absolutely right in what she was saying. And I really respect her for saying it, even though, like, I still like the movie. I know it was a big bummer for her, but I just wanted to just kind of say that I really respected her for saying what she did.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, that was a contentious moment there at the end of that podcast, you know, because we were like, oh, okay, there's something I really didn't like about it, but I'll save it to the end. And we're like, oh, we did save it to the end, and we hashed it all out there. And, you know, when you, especially for, you know, people listening to the podcast, now Lauren is a huge you know, Snyder fan, and, you know, was really looking forward to it, much like yourself, Darren. And, but, you know, she has some favorite characters, and she has some strong opinions about those favorite characters. And, you know, it's a perspective that I didn't have or I would have thought of, but we were happy to have her share it with us, you know, and that's what these conversations are all about. So, so Joey, man, what were you like? I can't really remember if you had a strong pro or where you were on the Snyder Cut before it was coming out. Where were you and where are you now with it?
So I definitely feel like I relate to you in terms of the DCEU comes in waves of what I enjoy, what I don't enjoy. I watched Man of Steel and BVS leading in. I didn't really watch anything else heading into it. I did not watch Justice League heading in, but even though I haven't seen that in years, I felt I couldn't help but, you know, compare, you know, every time I saw something, I was like, oh my gosh, that was so much better. But similar to in the Donner cut of Superman 2, where that's, you know, what people would say is it would have been leaps and bounds. There's still, you know, things I would have taken from each one. You know, like I couldn't, the thing I said heading into the movie was, if he's wearing the black suit the entire movie, to me that doesn't make sense. So like I thought the shirt rip scene at the end should have been the colorful costume. That was my hope, but it definitely could have been 3 hours versus four. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, it was an absolute improvement. I have thrown away Justice League. I will never put that in again. One thing I did think of throughout the whole thing, and you know, especially with the Marvel shows recently, looking at that entire shared universe, what I've kind of come to the conclusion of, Man of Steel, BVS, and Zack Snyder's Justice League make a nice trilogy that can be their own thing, very similarly to, you know, the Nolan Batman movies, where it's, you know, those aren't really the best overall Batman story, but great movies. I would put these in that same category, where I don't want a shared universe off of this. I just want to have a nice trilogy, and, you know, I'm fully open to leaving room for a new shared universe.
All right. Well said. Well said. WB seems to agree with you right now, but we'll talk about that. So Mateo, man, so let me try to remember. I think where were you on everything? You were kind of not the biggest DCEU fan. Is that correct?
I definitely have. I was probably very critical, like in the past, about it. Mm-hmm. But overall, I feel like I can watch them. Like they're watchable. I tolerate them, if that makes any sense. Like I don't have any strong feelings towards them. I'll say that.
Okay. So yeah. Going into it, did you get what you were looking for? Now that we're on the other end of the Snyder Cut,
I will say it's definitely leaps and bounds over Joss Whedon's cut. To be honest, I'm very conflicted about it still. Like, and so just to be clear, I've seen this thing 5 times.
Okay. How many hours is that? Let's see.
Like 20 hours, like a full, almost a full day of my life was dedicated to this thing. And it's like, to be fair, like 2 times were like with, commentaries. One was the black and white version. And like, I was just doing work in the background. So yeah, I wasn't really like engaged the entire time, like all 5 times, but I will say that I definitely like went in, you know, hoping for the best, and I definitely just felt satisfied for the most part. The more I think about it, the more I kind of like don't like it, especially like after listening to like what Lauren had to say. I definitely was just like, she makes a lot of great points, and I think what really kind of like put the nail in the coffin was when I watched the first episode of Invincible.
Mm.
I watched all that whole show. I don't know if you guys have, but I definitely think that, like, you can tell, like, an engaging story about, like, these superpowered people in, like, a real world type of setting, kind of like what Zack Snyder, I guess, was going for. And still, like, it doesn't have to be super depressing. Like, you can still, it can feel uplifting. Like, with a lot of these, with all three of these Zack Snyder films, it doesn't really feel uplifting at the end. And that's fair. Like, Zack Snyder is, like, he can make his films the way he wants to. And I definitely, like, commend him for especially just going the extra mile for this thing. Because, like, this thing was epic. The old gods going against Darkseid. I thought that scene was, like, just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
The Flash going back in time. Yeah, like, that was just so cool. Like, I really just felt like watching this thing that it was like, man, Zack Snyder is really trying to make DC's version of the Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of like what I was feeling throughout the entire time. And I definitely think that, like, while in terms of visual, like, he definitely nailed it. But in terms of the story, like, the themes and things of that nature, I just don't think it really connected as well. And ultimately, I definitely think that it's watchable. Like, if I had to give it a grade on the Arrow spectrum, it'd be an off the mark.
There it is. Well, it's watchable and rewatchable for you, considering you watched it five times. So that's good.
I don't know if I'm gonna watch it anytime soon after that.
You know, I have yet to see Invincible. Have you guys? I know Lance has. You guys seen Invincible? I when I watch it, yeah, I definitely want to see it. I mean, I can just, you know, put it in the queue, right? How many things out there are like this these days? But yeah, when I do see it, it will, you know, enough people are interested, we can talk about it on the 33.1 here, because I think that'd be some fun conversation. The Invincible, The Boys, Jupiter's Legacy, is like everything is coming out here. But, you know, to a point Lance has made many times, and I'll toss it to you, Lance, like, those are the kind of more avenues to tell these kinds of stories that Snyder is telling with the DC characters than the DCU has been, right? That's a point you've made, and I agree with that to an extent. But again, thinking it through the multiverse, it's like, well, this is here, and this is because, you know, you have this, you have Smallville, you have Superman Lois now. Like, there's plenty of room for all this stuff to exist. So that's kind of where I land on it. And, you know, as you guys have heard, to me, Justice League was my favorite DCEU movie. And I think it delivered on all the things you guys have been talking about. But Lance, what are you hearing all this now? What's your take on it?
My take on the Snyder Cut?
Sure, whatever, man. You want to say it's cool?
My thoughts really haven't changed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what I'll just go back to is the whole tone and premise, and I think the notion of the whole let's deconstruct these things, I think was a misplaced notion. Grant, like, right, like, I respect that is his vision, and kudos to him, he executed it, and then he got to do his thing. But I think it is the wrong choice with these characters. Okay. And I think that it at the end of the day, it did him a disservice, because, I mean, you can look at the reactions, and the reaction to it kind of proves that, because I don't think that that's what necessarily people want with these characters in particular. I think there's a time and place for the deconstruction of the superhero and our myths, but there's certain ones that need construction to balance out the deconstruction that's going on. And I think in his film, there was not enough construction, and the type that was present wasn't enough to balance out all the deconstruction that was going on, if that makes any sense. You know, you mentioned things like, you know, Invincible and The Boys and Watchmen, Jupiter's Legacy, you know, Miracle Man. Like, you have all these different avenues that you could tell the story of, you know, deconstructing the superheroes. What if they were real? And you can kind of, you know, use Snyder's thesis that he had at some interview, you know, way back when he was talking about, you know, he's like, well, I think he's quoted as, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said here, but he was just like, you know, if you think that, you know, your heroes weren't like this, or your heroes, you know, didn't have bad days, or if your heroes were X, Y, and Z, right? He's like, well, he essentially was kind of like, you know, was just like, well, that's not realistic. And he was kind of, you know, kind of poo-pooing on some people's thoughts about, you know, about these characters. And And, you know, he was kind of like trying to drive home the point that, like, that's not his take on them. But at the same time, he has to, I think he failed to respect that other people did not view the characters the way he did. And I think that in the end, it kind of bit him in the butt a little bit. It just, at the end of the day, you know, the Snyder Cut, not my cup of tea. I have issues with it, and I have issues with the DCEU as a whole.
You know, something you said there, and yeah, the deconstruction thing, I think that's been a great point we've been talking about. But I'll say this, you know, Justice League leaves you on a hopeful note for a lot of the characters, you know, and I think that kind of puts them in a place that we wish they were the whole time, right? Which was kind of the journey, right? It was like, how do we get from here to there? Although, as someone who watched Marvel for 10 years, I'm kind of sick of journeys. I want them to be there already, but
yeah. Well, that's also the problem. Like you mentioned, how, like, you know, like, it kind of ends on a hopeful note. But, like, if you look at what precluded everything, like what led up to everything, it was not going that direction at all. And then there, all of a sudden, there's this hard pivot to, it's like, all right, we're looking at, you know, like, let's look on the up and up. We're going to be inspiring heroes now. It's just like, well, that wasn't what we were doing prior to this at all. At least to me. So it makes it kind of seem a little bit forced, a little bit out of place, a little bit like that's not exactly what should have happened. But I don't know who, you know, I wasn't in the room where it happened, but based on what I saw, right, like it didn't work for me.
Not only that, the ending of Justice League, like, had it cut like after the shirt ripped, I would agree with you, but then we got 20 minutes of, hey, this world sucks.
I've already mentally blocked that out. So yeah, that's a good point. I forget that was part of the, I just kind of just mentally edit the epilogue out. But, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about modern Star Wars or Star Trek or anything, right? But, like, I feel like the way they deconstruct Star Wars is wrong. Like, that's like, hey, guys, you know, Luke Skywalker, he was like the best hero ever. Well, his life sucked. He made horrible choices and the galaxy's ruined now. But hey, kids, that's what happens. So the real life. Okay. But Superman, it's like, okay, Superman went through some crap, but now he's back and everything's fine. Like, that's a much better way to deconstruct. Like, if you're going to deconstruct pop culture icons, this is the proper way, as opposed to what Star Wars and to a lesser extent Star Trek, because they're not Star Trek, you can at least separate like the new from the old. Like Star Wars, like, yep, this is 7, 8, and 9. This is what happened. Deal with it.
To agree and disagree with you, Zach, I would say I think I have an easier time accepting this happening in comic book properties because this is just a version. I've read thousands and thousands of versions of Superman where that's why I feel like I can accept the Snyder Cut for in all of the Snyderverse for what it is, because yeah, this isn't my, honestly, you know, outside of Christopher Reeve, I'm loving the version of Superman that Tyler Hoechlin is playing. I absolutely love this, and it's another version. And yeah, I absolutely completely rejected all of the sequels in Star Wars because this is it. This is the only version of these characters we have. You know, this isn't Earth 2 Luke. This is Luke. And I completely agree with the struggling through that whole thing just because, yeah, it's, you know, taking a character we love and destroying it where, yeah, I could go read Heir to the Empire and see a better Luke, but...
Yeah, that's Earth 2 Luke now, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's,
so...
yeah.
To me, it's Earth 1.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
That's right. I'm going to tell my kids these are the sequels, right?
That's a whole trilogy. That's been 7, 8, 9 for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, I think we all enjoyed it to different degrees, which is great, right? I think we all agree. I think every person, a logical, non-biased person, would say this is better than the theatrical version. Like, for some,
oh, yeah.
I don't think a biased person
could argue that the Justice League is better.
Like, there's got to be some, right. I'm sure there's some contrarian out there who's like, well, you know, I'm like, all right, enough trying to get clicks and on your videos and your articles, right? Like, and I think, and Aaron, let's go to you on this. Had this been released in 2017, an edited down version, okay? Because I think one thing is the length, and I understand why it's as long as it was now, because for this purpose, like, just throw everything in there. It's, you know, I get it. But if this was really going to, if WB was like, okay, keep doing what you're doing, which is what they should have done, regardless of their extremely reactionary nature and bad decision making, just from a pure business standpoint, We've spent $250, $300 million already. Just finish this, release it, and then we'll see what happens. Instead of like, let's spend $200 more million and piss off everyone, and Ben Affleck quits, and, you know, just it's a horrible situation, and we disrespect Snyder, and we bring in everybody's favorite director, Joss Whedon. Wow. Way to go. So, this comes out 3 hours long in 2017. That would have worked, right, Darren?
I think you can make a really good three-hour movie out of it, yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. It would be a little bit different experience, yeah. But
well, how long was Return of the King when it came out theatrically, though?
It was definitely over three.
Yeah, definitely over three. The problem is that Warner Bros. Had that two-hour mandate even before Zack left. So they wanted it to be a two-hour movie regardless. I think Zack has even joked that he thought they were kidding when they first told him that. He's like, are you serious? But I don't know. I feel like it kind of would have been sort of like a BVS theatrical sort of situation where I think people would have been like, oh, see, like he shouldn't have been the guy making this movie. And then we'd have had, you know, still had to, you know, fight for his vision. So
it's like they learned nothing from BVS. Cause I think, you know, I think it's not as radical as difference, obviously, as the two Justice Leagues. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that big of a change. I think it fills in a lot of potholes, but your first impression is always the most important. So
right.
70% of audiences have only probably seen the theatrical. People like us, of course, are going to see every version of everything. Yeah. But the general public only saw the theatrical version. Like, well, that didn't make sense. And that was weird. And that was, you know, and so that's the impression. And so they learned nothing from that, apparently, which is very, which is on brand for them as we learn more about them, unfortunately. So,
yeah, you're exactly right, though.
But I think, I don't know, like I with Justice League, I think you could take out, you chop off the epilogue. It's like 20 minutes. You speed up the recap of what happened at the end of the last movie. Less slow-mo with a lot of stuff. And then...
No Aquaman hymns.
That was odd. That's a good 2 minutes right there. Definitely let's talk about the Flash's first scene, right? I think you could take that out, but there is stuff I like in it, but there's also some weird stuff in it. So I'm really not sure how I feel about it, but that's an easy 8 minutes to take out, right? What do you guys think?
I would say I'm a little conflicted about it just because it's visually a really cool scene. That being said, it doesn't like there's no need for it at all whatsoever. So, and I feel like it's one of those things that like for the theatrical cut it out, but for the inevitable extended edition, whatever, then yeah, put it in. That's kind of like the way I will roll. Cause like, I think it's a scene that's cool enough just to at least to be seen just so you can have like an idea, like a establishing thought about like how powerful, how fast this Flash is.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, that's why I would leave it in. For that reason alone.
I would say everything that's slow-mo other than the Flash, you can speed up, but all of the Flash is slow-mo, we 100% leave.
I don't think we need the sesame seed, though.
Yeah, we don't need the sesame seed. And then in the Flash's opening scene, instead of a hot dog cart, could we like change that to like a pretzel cart or something? Because
I think we're all worried about that hot dog when we first saw it.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, we were. It was said it took so long for it to resolve itself. It was suspense.
Yeah, we should change what's in that cart because if you really think about it, that scene is something. So.
Yeah. But hey, that Iris West is coming back in Flashpoint. So
she
is. Yeah,
yeah. Flash character is coming back.
Flash character. Yeah, yeah. They're filming it now. Apparently.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
I owe some people some money, I guess. We'll see if it comes out. But
man, okay.
Or how much it changes on the way.
I'm disappointed that Dr. Manhattan, almost called him Mr. Manhattan, Billy Crudup is not the dad again. Like, could you not have found 3 days and filmed him on a green screen for his time in the fight? Like, he's not going to play that big a role. I hate recasting, right? DCEU has avoided it up till now, but here we are. So can we give a deep fake of Billy Crudup on that guy from... What's that guy? Office Space. Yes, can we just do that to his face? I don't know.
Hey, as Don Cheadle once said, it's me, I'm here, deal with it.
did he say that about Iron Man 2?
No, like literally when Don Cheadle first shows up in Iron Man 2 and Iron Man meets him, he's like, hey, I didn't know you were going to be here. And he's like, hey, it's I'm here, it's me, deal with it. That's literally his first three lines.
Very smart, Marvel. Well done. Like, I've seen Iron Man 2 twice ever, so that's probably...
I was about to say once. I was like, you probably haven't seen it since we saw it in theaters.
Well, I saw it on every now and then. It was just on cable. It's one of those like, okay, I'll check this out for a few minutes. And
it's
then,
true. It's on TNT a lot.
Yeah, TNT. It's replaced the Spider-Man's on TNT, which is unfortunate. So, you know, that's how I really felt when I was old. When I think, Lance, we were in Philadelphia when you were living there, and The Force Awakens was on TV at Chili's. I was like, oh, man, we're old. Episode 7 of Star Wars on TV at Chili's. Anyway, you know what? And I think, what do you guys think? You know, Lance and I have talked about this a lot, but who do you guys think is the most improved character? I mean, Cyborg is like the slam dunk answer, right? But the Flash is really up there as well. Like, I think both of them are extremely improved. What do you guys think about improved characters?
Yeah, I would say it's, you know, outside of Cyborg, it's definitely Flash, you know, just from being the, you know, the punchline for every, you know, every, I mean, just the ending of the movie alone, I would even argue you, I mean, with how underserved Cyborg was, you can't take him, but I mean, with the ending that Flash had versus the ending he had previously, you could really make an argument for how, just how important of a story he had cut out as well. Other than that, I think, yeah, I think it's absolutely, you know, Flash and Cyborg, you know, as a unit, you know, with how much they were improved.
I think Silas Stone greatly improved this in the Snyder Cut.
Dr. Hamilton? Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles Dyson?
Mm-hmm. I thought Dr. Hamilton was the same Dr. Hamilton from Smallville who's in like the first scene of Man of Steel.
Well, that's the second Dr. Hamilton from Smallville who was in the Man of Steel scene with the DCEU's Dr. Hamilton played by the guy from the West Wing.
That's meta.
He's like, oh, we have to rotate it. So
enter the Hamilton verse.
Let's do that. Enter the Hamilton verse. I'll say that. You know that Miles Dyson will do it. He was in Godzilla King of the Monsters for like 5 minutes, and I was very disappointed he wasn't in the next one. And then Lance Reddick was in Godzilla vs. Kong for 5 minutes. So
it's true. If we do into the Hamilton verse, then but it has to end with everybody doing Alexander Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And the same topic, though, of most improved character, I will say that I enjoyed everything added to Lois, but in terms of the least improved character, I will say Martha because of Martha Manhunter. I believe that was your podcast that coined that, was it?
You know, I'm sure a lot of people on the internet have said that. Matt Truex came, I think, was the first one to say it in our group, but it's one of those things where you're like, that's brilliant, and then you look online, I'm sure there's like 1,000 other people.
Loved that scene, and I like that we got to see Martian Manhunter. I honestly, if we would have only seen him with Bruce at the end, that would have been better than him being Martha, because it didn't really... It took away from Martha as a character, I thought.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Like, it's like... I'll ask you, Jared. I'll defer to your expertise on this.
Oh, boy.
The scene at the end with Martian Manhunter, was there ever... And maybe we don't know this or not, but I just ask you. I know you're more plugged in this than I am. Was there ever a version of this where, like, there was just that end scene with him and no Martha Manhunter? Or was that always like, oh, I got to... Because, as we all know now, there was a Green Lantern scene that was supposed to be there, and W was like, no, you can't use Jon Stewart, which is just dumb. If this doesn't affect anything, then why can't we have Jon Stewart Green Lantern here? The Green Lantern that we all love, and we all grew up with watching on Justice League, that everybody wants to see. But anyway, well, we can talk more about that in a second. But he was going to come out of nowhere, right? There wasn't Martha was not going to turn into Green Lantern in that scene, right, to show up at the end.
Actually, you are wrong. That was actually original storyboard from before they started shooting.
Wow.
So Martha was going to always turn into Martian Manhunter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, so that was... I saw that storyboard, but that was I didn't know if that was a recent one or like a... Okay, wow.
Yeah, he said he had planned to shoot it during the additional photography before he ended up leaving the movie in the first place. So
there was... Okay. So that was... There was going to be a version of this where he just turns into Martian Manhunter in that hallway and that's the only time you see him? That's even worse, Darren. I'm sorry to tell you. That's...
I
was trying to help
cool.
Snyder out. It looked cool. There's a lot of stuff that looks cool. You know, the Haldo maneuver looks cool,
Supergirl.
But it's garbage and destroys Lightspeed in The Last Jedi, but we're not going to talk about that today.
Yes.
But anyway, that's bizarre. That's a bizarre choice. Like, I think, like, this is... Zack Snyder's Justice League is a really good movie, but there are certain things that were obvious to just be like, take this out. It's a, improved. Take this out, it's improved. Take this out, it's improved. And it's cool to see Martian Manhunter, but that with undercutting the Martha scene is the problem, because that was a good scene between the two of them, which is just like, what are you talking about? So that's weird. They, that would be felt so weird. You know how many people I've had to explain that to? Have to explain to even more people if he didn't say who he was at the end, which I don't know. That's odd. That's an odd choice. But I guess in theory, Darren, Justice League 2 and 3, he would have been in more. And right. I mean, that's the... But still, that's an odd choice. That's an odd choice. Anyway, I'm sorry. Did anybody else have any improvement? I'm sorry. We kind of went on a tangent there, but...
I got one. Aquaman for me, actually.
Improved character.
Interesting.
Yeah, improved.
Okay.
Yeah. So, truth be told, sorry, Zach, I'm not a huge fan of his the Aquaman movie.
Aquaman is like a lot of people I know and opinions I respect. Like, it's all over the place on the ranking. It's like I've seen it first, I've seen it last. It's great, but anyway, I hear you.
Yeah, but one of the things that I kind of connected with more, maybe it's just because some of the stuff I just really didn't like in the Joss Whedon version, like him being like going at Cyborg, being like, "Oh, you're part of the bad guys," whatever. He's like consistently like badgering him about that, and like. He calls him out once, then Cyborg explains what happens, and like later on in the movie, he's very empathetic towards him. And I thought that was really good character development on his part.
Especially after his father dies, right? Yeah.
And I was just like really happy with that. And like it made that moment where Cyborg, you know, catches him, he's like, you know, my man and all that. Like it makes that scene a little better, to be honest, because there's like a very, very small kind of like character arc with him in that. And like, I kind of connected with him more about like, you know, his mother abandoning him and things of that nature, at least like, from what he knows, and the scenes with him and Willem Dafoe and Amber Heard and her interesting British accent.
What to me, the most surprising thing of the Snyder Cut was that. Like, what?
I was just like, wait, what? Like, I literally had to go back and watch the scene again, like in the Joss Whedon version. I was like, wait, did she have this this accent the whole time, or I'm like totally like out of my mind right now? But yeah, I thought that with him, I thought he had just like a really just a humanizing arc in that movie, and I was just like, you know, I kind of want to see Aquaman again.
Well, it's not going to match up to the theatrical Aquaman, unfortunately. As much as I enjoyed that film, I like all this stuff better. I like the way Willem Dafoe looks. I like the way Mera... She has this... I mean, she's a princess, right? So just like Carrie Fisher in Star Wars for a few scenes, she has a British accent. Makes her seem more like a princess. I don't know. I hate Mera's red. It's as red as the shirt you guys are wearing right now, Joey and Lance, her hair in Aquaman. I'm like, it looked fine. In Justice League, you should have kept it like that. Anyway, Darren, improved characters, right? Cyborg, obviously number one. Visually, Superman, I guess, if you want to go that route.
Well, not just visually. Like, everything about it is better.
Is this guy still bothering you?
Yeah.
Slowpoke. It's like, look, guys, just because I like Christopher Reeve Superman doesn't mean I want him to sound like a 1938 comic book talking to people. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yes, ma'am, or whatever. You said in the old version, I can't even remember because I'm not going to watch it, but yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, the stuff at the Kent farm, like when Martha Kent shows up, I mean, that still gives me goosebumps.
That was Martha, that, right? Not Martian Manhunter? How do we
know? Well, too bad there's not a sequel to find out, right?
Oh, there it is. But, Good job. As much as I didn't like the epilogue to this, I would absolutely want to hashtag restore the Snyderverse and see more of this stuff, right? Because I mean, as long as they're not going to go cancel Superman and Lois or something for it, right? That's the problem with the DC has been experiencing. It's like, well, we can't make a Batman can't show up because we have to make a movie. I'm like, why? Anyway, like you can't use the Bat embargo from Justice League. They're like, you can't use the Batman villains on Justice League because Chris Nolan's making a Batman movie. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, we're gonna have Affleck and Keaton together, so we'll be over it by then.
My favorite Batman together. So, you know, it's funny you guys are mentioning Aquaman and stuff. The more I think about it, I think you're right. To me, he was very pretty much the same. I mean, from my memory, I'm like, okay, he's pretty much the same. Wonder Woman was obviously very consistent. You know, Batman was changed. I mean, his whole like have faith, Alfred. I'm like, okay, that's a little much, but see, Bruce Wayne, that's his thing. Right? He makes crazy vows on people's graves. So to me, that it's very in character for him to like go all in with this complete character shift.
It's a great point.
And my favorite line in the movie was probably like, "This is Alfred. I work for him." I love that. Affleck's my favorite. You know, him and Keaton are my favorite on screen Batman. So that's, I mean, you know, excited for Flashpoint for that reason. But we'll see. I mean, it's gonna be a complete mess. Like, I have no faith in them pulling that off.
When that movie is over, who do you want Ezra to look at and say, "You're one hell of a messenger," to be the permanent Batman?
Obviously, Robert Pattinson. If they do that, I'm gonna go.
Is all about Affleck and Keaton, and then it's just gonna be Pattinson at the end. You're one hell of a messenger.
Well, here's how it's gonna be, right? Affleck will be like in two scenes at the beginning, and then he'll get erased, and then Barry will come back, and we'll have Supergirl instead of Henry Cavill Superman because he'll be erased, and we'll have Michael Keaton will come back with him. I don't know. We'll see. Here's the deal. Do not pull a Luke Skywalker Last Jedi on Michael Keaton's Batman in Flashpoint. If they do that, it's, oh my god.
I'm going to be the Thomas Wayne with a shotgun in his hand.
That's what he does, though. Michael Keaton's Batman kills people with guns. He's perfect. Although, as cool as it is, and marketing-wise, it makes more sense to have Michael Keaton's Batman be in this. The correct story is the comic book one. With Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Thomas Wayne Batman, like, that's a better story. That's the more correct one to tell. Like, I, as a fan who grew up watching Michael Keaton's Batman, of course I'm excited to see him again, but that's not Flashpoint. Like, they set up Flashpoint perfectly with a guy who looks, acts, and wants to play Flashpoint Batman. And they're like, no, we're good.
They're going to squeeze Margot Robbie in as the Harley Quinn of the comic book story, too. They're going to take everybody who's been in the DCEU from the comic book and put them in a weird version of themselves.
Maybe if they show whoever wants to show up, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is what we wanted the Donner cut to be for Superman 2. You know, I mean, these days I'm like, I'd rather watch the theatrical version. I don't see, but much like the Donner cut, the thing with the Donner cut was like the time reversal thing. You didn't have to do that. Like, well, that's what we were going to do back in 1976. Well, that's the first movie came out. Don't do that, right? But the fact that they went out of their way to add that is infuriating, right? And so, as Darren's laughs, because I know he enjoyed our commentary on it, Lance. So, I just loosened my...
Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good time.
And I equate that, and it doesn't break the movie because, like, it's this alternate what-if future, right? But it does. It's similarly... Here's the terrible future and everybody's dead and, you know, like, the fact that that's what they chose to, the things that bring the movie down, the things they went out of their way to go shoot and add to it, to me, is extremely frustrating. You know, like, those are my least favorite parts, is all the, ironically, the reshoots to Zack Snyder's Justice League. They should have, had they not shot anything past January 2017, everything would have been fine. But everything past that point, if Sweden shot it, if Snyder shot it, like, it made the movie not as good, in my opinion. So, because, like you guys were saying, like, you end on the Superman and the hope, and he flies off, and you're like, oh, good, show me the next one. But instead, it's like epilogue. And I mean, but I'll say this, it's the best Jared Leto's Joker's been.
There's a good side to everything.
I mean, he's no Joaquin Phoenix, guys, right, Lance? But he's okay, right? In that scene, right?
Both suck.
Have you guys seen the one-minute deleted scene from the Snyder Cut?
Okay, is it in the only black and white version? Where is it? Because I heard about this, but I wasn't able to find it. What is it?
It's on YouTube, actually. Yeah, it's not in either version. That's really stupid. I'm like, it's only 1 minute. Like, it's, what's the point of cutting it? It's a four-hour movie. You might as well just put the extra minute in.
What, describe it for us, because I am familiar with it, but I haven't seen it. So.
It's where the We Live in the Society thing.
That's the ultimate. I love that. I love that that's in there. I love how upset people were that he got the Joker to say that. That is amazing. But please continue.
I forgot the context exactly, but he compares the deaths to Harley and Robin to Batman, and I remember thinking, like, this is really interesting. I'm sorry, I wish that I rewatched it before coming in, but it was like, it was a really interesting set of dialogue. And I'm just like, I'm very curious, like, why did they cut this? Is it because of the we live in a society thing? I don't know. Like, it's only 1 minute, so who cares? But yeah, the scene's on YouTube. It's in black and white, so it literally, it's a minute, so you can watch it.
Okay. It's only in black and white.
Yeah.
That's amazing. This
for movie, some reason.
There's new footage in the black and white version?
No, there was going to be, and they cut it out. Because the stuff I heard originally is, hey, the black and white version is going to have this extra stuff. And then, you know, I was like, the next day I was like scanning the internet and they said, no, it's not there. But Darren, you've watched it in black and white, right? I know, but Mateo, you have too. What do you guys, does that, mm-hmm. how does that change the experience for y'all to watch it that way?
Well, for me, I like it just as much as the regular version, just because it adds a different feel to it. It's a different kind of experience with it. In a way, it kind of makes it feel timeless in a sense. I love how certain things kind of look different in terms of like the shadows, that you focus on textures, not so much color. I love Steppenwolf's design in the black and white version. And obviously it's things like Batman's suit, Superman's suit kind of have a different kind of vibe to it, but it still works because it's still in that darker.
Oh, that's right. And frame. Superman, he's still wearing the red and blue in the black and white version, right? That's, isn't that correct?
Yeah. In the beginning, you mean? Or?
I'm just messing with you because you can't tell the difference in the black and white version. So yes, Joey, that Sherbert at the end, he is wearing the red and blue costume. You just can't see it, but in the black and white version,
yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying. No, and hey, I you know, I talk a lot of like fun about the black and white stuff, but it's not just like they turn the color down. They actually, the contrast, the brightness, like it. There's more to it than that, y'all. Just so you guys like, Mad Max did the same thing with the chrome and steel version of Fury Road, and James Mangold did it with Logan. So you know, this is any excuse to rewatch a movie they've already seen with a slightly different thing spin on it. That's fine. You know, I think it's a fun thing, and we all know that Snyder's thing, right? The black and white, right? So, like, fine. I expect that, and just release them all in black and white. You know, sure, why not? DCEU Noir Edition, why not?
One thing I wish more movies did, and I feel bad that The Last Jedi has come up so much in this, but honestly, one of the best things that they did is a special feature they did for that was a score-only version, which I wish, like, every other Star Wars movie did a score-only version. But I think something like that could be cool, where especially for something in the background where you've got the score and you can see what's going on. I think that, in terms of other than like a, you know, a black and white being a different version,
the silent film edition.
Yeah, just where you can hear the score. I mean, because I'm the type of person that I put movie scores on while I'm at work, and you know, just you know, as background, and something like that. I think would be cool if more movies did in terms of a different way.
A lot
watch.
Of the DC movie, like I know Superman the movie has that. I think maybe the. Do the Burton Batman movies have that? I'm not sure. But they have more movies have been doing that with more releases. I'm not sure. I can't say what does and doesn't have it. But
Joey, I think you just talked me into rewatching The Last Jedi, and I never thought that was possible. now I might have to watch that version now.
I was looking through the special features one day when I was just I wanted to watch like the documentary they did on the background of it, and I saw in there like score only version. I was like, I wish every single Star Wars movie had this.
It's really good. Yeah, it's really enjoyable.
I think that'd probably be the best way to watch The Last Jedi, where you don't know anything anybody's saying. And
yeah. So, Mateo, where in your five times watching it did you watch the black and white version?
I believe it was the third time.
Okay, that's fair. That makes sense. So right in the center, you know, break it up. Okay.
Yeah, I like the, because the way I did was like I watched the first time, like, you know, watching it like with actual intention, listening, paying attention, all that. The second time was a commentary from like a group I follow on Facebook. They were watching along, and I was just kind of like enjoying their commentary while watching the movie. Third time was with the black and white, and I was like trying to like notice any differences. The fourth was another commentary on the Ringer podcast, which I thought was that one was a lot of fun. And then the
Who
fifth one,
one
was with my family. It was on the Big Picture, so it was
Fantasy.
Yeah, Fantasy and Amanda and okay. Chris Ryan.
Oh, okay, Ryan's annoying. So is Fantasy sometimes. But I love Amanda Dobbins.
I love all three, to be honest.
Well, see, no, who they needed was Mallory Rubin.
Oh, because she loves this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she's all about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think half the reason why I enjoyed it is because I know that that's not their area of expertise, and like I'm just like, yeah, I want to see what like the quote unquote normie thinks of this, or at least the people who like only watch like more.
Auteur filmmaking
cinema.
And stuff.
Yeah,
like Fantasy and Ryan.
Yeah. So like it's enjoyable for that, because like I watch a lot of movies, and like I like to get people's different perspectives, and like I can sometimes have my head in the sand being like, you know, like superhero movies are awesome, they're great, but also like that's not the case for a lot of other people. So I like to get other people's perspectives, which has made a lot of fun. And then yeah, the fifth time was with the family.
What did your family think? Had they seen the first one? What did they think?
So they actually don't even remember watching the Joss Whedon version. Like they're like, because I showed them the trailer.
That's for
like,
the best.
I don't remember. They're like, I don't remember seeing this. And then when I put on the Snyder cut, they're like, oh, I remember this scene, like the scene where they're fighting in the Gotham underground, and the Wonder Woman saving all the kids. I was like, they were like, oh wait, I remember this. I'm like, so you have seen it. And then, but yeah, they overall enjoyed it. I was surprised that they actually wanted to do it in one shot. Like all five times were in one shot, funny enough. So like, I never decided to segment it, even though like there were a couple times I actually planned on like breaking it apart, but I was like, nah.
Well, when Lance and I do our commentary, we're gonna have to do it in one shot, right, Lance?
Yep.
That's when I'll wait to watch the black and white version, though. When it comes out on physical media, that's when Lance and I are gonna do our 4-hour commentary. But then at that point, when I own it, I'll watch it on black and white. I just haven't really had the desire to. And you know, I got to watch like The Flash and Wonder Woman and Smallville and Arrow. I mean, you know, there's only so much time in the day. So I can get in, what was it, like 7 episodes of Arrow in the time of Zack Snyder's Justice League. So, you know, got to choose my time wisely. But
Lance, one question I did have for you about it was, the thing I was looking the most forward to on this was the score, and it didn't have the payoff with everything we had built to. So I was curious on your take on the score of everything, and just mainly with Lance on your musical background.
There were some moments where there was some really, really nice, really affecting music going on in certain scenes, right? Clever writing and very stylistic writing that was going on. But then other places, it was just very odd to me. I thought that there was, well, not only just Wonder Woman, but just, you know, just other places, like where, like, there would be hits and there would be moments where the score was like, you know, not necessarily center stage, but it was like more in the forefront than it was previous in other spots. And I was just like, well, this is an odd place for this to be. And then some of the things that were used and utilized, like, you know, melodically, harmonically in some of those places were also odd, because there was the things that we hadn't heard in not only the other films, but also like stuff that like he hadn't done before. Cause I know that there was some new stuff in here as well. It didn't mesh, and it was not as good as some of the other stuff that Junkie XL has done, in my opinion. So there were some nice moments, but overall it didn't really hit for me.
Yeah, it has the same problem that BVS had with the Man of Steel theme. It's like, why is that not in here, right? So Justice League doesn't have the Batman theme from BVS. I was like, why isn't that in here, you know? So those were things I was like, dah, 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 dah. I'm like, you're looking forward to that, those payoffs, right? He had to record this during the pandemic, like a limited orchestra, right? Was that part of the, was that a factor, I assume, but I don't know. I just would have retracted a lot of stuff. I don't, you know.
Yeah, it's a factor, but like, I mean, you know, full disclosure, I mean, I've recorded stuff during the pandemic, all right? So, you know, with multiple different groups. So it's not like it's not possible. And so, and I get that it's a challenge, but like, I don't know. There's like, and I'm not just talking about like the, you know, my critiques of the music and the stuff that I didn't like. It's not like whether what he did and how he was able to do it was the issue. It's like the content for me was the issue, right? And like, you know, some of the themes that were used, some of the actual music that is present is kind of weird. and it just doesn't fit in some places.
When Wonder Woman does stuff, we want to hear that. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear anything else. Like this weird chanting, and I don't know what that is about. So.
Yeah, and we have the themes of our Trinity built up, and I wanted them all at the same in the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean the Wonder Woman theme was here more than the Wonder Woman 84, though. So got that going for it.
Yup.
So woof. But you know, I think some of the I don't know if we spent a lot of time talking about our special about Atlanta, so I'll bring it up here. But like the climax, right? I think was such a great climax of the film, and really paid off why all these characters were together, because they all had their own role, you know, as opposed to, well, theatrical was like, all right, Flash, go be a joke, and then I'm going to go to this, and, you know, but here everybody, you know, had a purpose, right? And I think that was, and then not to mention the Flash doing, well, they took the ending of Superman the movie, you know, the greatest superhero movie of all time, they just put it in Justice League, got to reverse time to save the Earth, I get it, I'm here for it, right? But everybody had a role. This is like Cyborg's pulling apart the thing and locking in. The Flash is running around. Wonder Woman and Aquaman are doing the physical fighting, right? Batman is doing his thing. So, like, everybody had a purpose, you know? And I think that paid off. Much like a good X-Men movie, right? A team superhero movie. Everybody has something to do at the end. And that's a major change from what we had seen before. So, to me, that was a big, you know, highlight of everything.
Well, I mean, that's great that that's a highlight, but... You know, you mentioned Marvel and people having things to do. Well, I mean, that's what a lot of their stuff is, like with the team stuff, like each team members had something to do. Similar to how, like, in the Ninja Turtles, each turtle had something to do. The X-Men had something to do. The Fast and the Furious, every member of that crew has something to do. Ocean's 11, everybody in that crew has something to do. So
those are all great movies. So,
and
they're all superheroes.
My, and what I'm getting at with that is it's like, I mean, yeah, that's great that this movie was able to do the bare minimum expectation of having the Justice League work together. Like, I mean, it's
I'm not saying that's like why it's amazing or something. I'm saying like that is a clear problem
with the other one,
with the theatrical version, which, like, okay, had you just stuck with what you had, you're better off. That's my I understand what you're saying. You're like, okay, they made a movie, good on that. Like,
yeah.
And
if anything, that's more of an indictment on Joss Whedon. It's just like, how did you screw that up? Like, among the other things that he screwed up, right? It's just like, how is that you screwed up this? It's like, if anything, watch your own work, bro. Like, this is not the first time that you've worked with groups and had them work together before. It's just like, God, you're an idiot.
I want to bounce off that real quick, right? Is this better than the Avengers or Avengers Age of Ultron?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I was going to say absolutely, but okay.
I was going to say yes, but...
All right, Joey, you're the deciding vote.
I mean, maybe Age of Ultron, but not Marvel's Avengers. No way. No way in hell.
You know, and this is a hot take of mine. I think the first Avengers movie, in terms of, you know, taking away Winter Soldier is the best Marvel movie, you know, I think by far that everybody can agree on, but you have to take yourself to the movie theater, and at the movie theater, Avengers was the best movie I've ever seen because of the team aspect of it.
Oh, well, yo, team aspect. Have you seen Fast and the Furious? Have you seen X-Men? Are we supposed to give them credit that they have characters working together?
X-Men, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but you've never waited your entire life to see the Fast and the Furious on the big screen. You waited your entire life for Avengers.
Well, I waited about 4 years after I found out who those characters were, but that's fine.
Yeah. To Joey's point, you waited your entire life to see the Justice League, and they screwed it up in the first.
You know what I waited?
Attempt.
No. You know what I waited my entire life to see?
Luke Skywalker. Yep.
All right. So why don't? Anyway. But you know what? The Mandalorian fixed that for me. So I know, right? Just set such a good setup. I mean, I used to say, like, the Avengers was, like, the best. Because, no, I'm right there. Joey, like, the whole seeing all that come together, was, over me, the... The Avengers, the first one, was such an incredible achievement, right? And it was, like, a feel-good thing. You know, even the Hulk looked different, you know. But now it's like, you know, there's better Marvel movies out there, like
there
all
are,
the Captain America ones, but
there are better Marvel movies, but as far as like a comparison to Zack Snyder's Justice League, that first Avengers is still better.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to rewatch them both, but honestly, like, I mean, this is not me just trying to be contrarian. Like, I would say Zack Snyder's Justice League is better than the Avengers.
I want to take a step further back and say my big fight I get in with, you know, all of my friends and everything is Superman the movie is the best comic book movie ever made.
That's correct. That's correct.
Because it's
true fan right there.
It's great, and it paved the way. So Avengers, Zack Snyder's Justice League isn't even a thought, or even even Justice League isn't a thought, in my opinion, without the Avengers, because we would have just had Man of Steel and maybe some sequels, because the entire thing with what Warner Brothers was doing
was
catching up.
Nice. to have an actual Superman series.
That is true.
We would have had a Superman series with Zack Snyder, where I think that's what, to just throw the credit, you know, throw some bouquets at Avengers, is Avengers is to the team superhero movies and all of, you know, the shared cinematic universe that Superman the movie is to all of comic book movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, because we've been, you know, saying X-Men here with teams, but they didn't, like, have different characters from different quote-unquote franchises coming together. That was the most impressive thing about, and that's what's, so when you have, even on the Arrowverse, like, hey, look, it's Constantine from NBC, and now he's over, like, that's cool. Like, there's something about that. Things that were created separately that are then put together. And just as, I mean, as much as I did enjoy Zack Snyder's Justice League, I mean, I'm saying that it is better than the Avengers as far as me is to looking at its films, but I will revisit those and let you guys know, because one day, Lance and I have the whole MCU to do. All right, so everybody's looking forward to that for our commentaries.
You're going to do that on Franchise Fatigue as well? Because I'm waiting for the...
It's not happening on Franchise Fatigue.
Brent, I don't know if you guys
listen...
I can
tell you that right now, it's not happening.
If you guys listen to Franchise Fatigue or not, I love Brandon, but he has seen Doctor Strange, and I think that's it, as far as anything...
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's all he's seen.
So Rogue it's not One is also his favorite fatigue. Star Wars movie, so he's got some weird taste, but I love Brandon. But I don't think... I talk enough superheroes here. I'm not going to bring that over there. Like, we brought Blade over there, maybe some other, you know, smaller self-contained franchises, but nothing like the MCU.
It's not happening.
Superman, maybe.
It barely might happen on this podcast, the MCU.
I thought it was because Marvel sucks, because this is a DC pod.
Yeah, Marvel. I'm David Ayer. Marvel. Idiot. Say that. But yes, we will get to the MCU down the road in the commentaries, and that'll be fun. The Captain America movies are my favorite. Just to stir stuff up on social media, I think because Letterboxd is a great app, by the way. I recommend everybody use it. Ever since I started Franchise Fatigue, I have a Letterboxd, so everything, like, I catalog and put there, and it's kind of cool to see. And I'll go back and change my ratings so I don't look like I'm a hypocrite and change my mind. Which I don't think you're supposed to do. I think it's supposed to show your evolution over time, but I don't do it that way. But anyway, I think I'll post like my top 10 superhero movies or something on there just to stir stuff up this week on social media, which is funny because by the time you guys hear this, this will be like 2 weeks in the past. So you won't even know, but this is why it started, because I'll say everything to me in top 10 superhero movies is all DC. Except like the bottom two slots are like Winter Soldier and First Avenger. Like,
so the Raimi Spider-Man are nowhere in your top 10?
Oh, I forgot about that. I love them so much. I assume they were DC, but yeah, you're right. and that's, you know, no offense to the new DC stuff, because I love a lot of the Wonder Woman, right? All this, I love a lot of that stuff, but it's just like the nostalgia plus the characters that that I've loved forever. Like that takes precedence. So anyway, but we'll talk about, you know, We'll do it like a top. I don't know. We can't do top 10, can I? At some point on this thing, take forever. We can just list them real quick and on a future conversation, maybe. That'll be fun. So get your list ready for a future 33.1. You know, I will revisit the Avengers at some point, because I mean that's the MCU, right? It's hard to like just revisit a random movie when it's not just something like, you know, Winter Soldier or something like that. Because who wants to just go rewatch Age of Ultron out of who's in the mood? I'm in the mood to watch Age of Ultron this weekend. Nobody says that.
If you watch WandaVision, you would be.
Oh, because you can see their... She's like a totally different character.
The beginning.
I know she's a totally different character.
And they recast Quicksilver. Like, what's that? They recast Pietro. What's that about? So,
once a year, my wife gets in the mood to... She just really wants to watch the first Iron Man, and that just starts the spiral, and we just go straight through from...
I mean, that's still one of the best ones, right? I mean, people give Jeff Bridges... Jeff Bridges is my favorite actor. He's incredible in that.
Tony Stark built this in a cave
with a box of scraps.
I just watched The Big Lebowski for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Within a few seconds, my wife and I looked at each other and did that. Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave.
Of course. Speaking of villains and villains that are bald, much like Jared Leto had his best scene as the Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League, Jesse Eisenberg had his best scene as Lex Luthor. And Zack Snyder's Justice League. I really like that scene with him and Deathstroke on the boat there. And it's seeing how it was supposed to be, you know, makes a lot more sense. And then setting up the Batfleck movie, which we're probably never going to get, unfortunately. So,
Zach, I have to show you this. I think you're going to like this.
Ah!
This is the Batfleck.
So Darren, he's holding up a T-shirt that he's wearing, that it's the logo font and design of the Batman, but instead of that, it's the Batfleck. So, yeah. who here? And it's fine if you are, even though we disagree. Who here would rather see Robert Pattinson's the Batman than Ben Affleck movie? I knew you were going to raise your hand. I knew it. I knew it was going to be you. Mateo, you would rather see Robert Pattinson's Batman movie than Ben Affleck? Explain yourself.
I'm done with the DCEU. That's one. Like, I just, like, I don't really care to see. And, like, also...
Do you have any belief, though, that they're not going to try to shoehorn Pattinson into an origin for Batfleck?
I don't think so. But here's another thing. The scene sets up Deathstroke as the main villain, right? 5 minutes later, we see the future scene where they're buddy-buddy, like it's the end of the world and all that. So I guess they're, like, nothing of big consequence really happens because they're cool at the end. Well, somewhat. But also, like, I love Matt Reeves as a director. He directed two fantastic Planet of the Apes movies.
That is true.
The only, I would say the biggest loss of from the Batfleck movie is like losing Jeremy Irons as Alfred, because he's my favorite Alfred for sure.
Like, but now you get Caesar.
Yeah, I guess Caesar as Alfred now.
Andy Serkis played Caesar in the Planet of the Apes movies. Andy played King Kong. Andy played Smeagol. I would have definitely preferred Pierce Brosnan, but he's Dr. Fate now. So I just wanted ex-Alfred. I wanted ex-James Bond to play Alfred. It makes perfect sense. And yeah, right. Timothy Dalton is running the Doom Patrol, and Pierce Brosnan's wearing a Dr. Fate helmet. So I guess Daniel Craig can be the next Alfred, I guess.
But even all things being equal, I think I want to see Ben Affleck in a Batman movie. I think that's what I just want the most of.
Yeah.
Or a limited series on HBO Max. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's not like I don't want it. I want it, especially like I want to see what a Ben Affleck directed and written, starring in movie would look like. When they made that announcement, I was jumping all over the place. I was excited for it, but in all honesty, like just the way things have panned out, I mean, I love that trailer. I'm just like, you know what? I'm ready to move forward with it all. And like, as long as it's his own thing, like if they try and connect it, then I'll sour a little bit. But if they stick to their word and they're like, this is its own continuity, then who cares? I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to try to connect those. As far as how Batman, like my order of preference for anything future Batman related is a Batfleck movie. Okay. A Batman Beyond movie starring Michael Keaton.
Let's do it.
And then, I guess, the Schumacher cut of Batman Forever. Those are the three things I want to see. I don't care about the Batman.
Isn't the Pattinson attached show still going to happen? Like the Gotham PD that's attached to
Gotham?
Yeah.
2.0?
Yeah, isn't that still in the works?
Yeah. Speaking of James Bond, Felix Leiter can be Commissioner Gordon. So we can't get... I'm bleeding chips. Yeah, I really like him in those movies. But is he in the next one that hasn't come out? Time to Die? Is he in it?
Yeah, he's in it.
Okay. When is that coming out?
It's
been a year and a half since it was supposed to. So
it's supposed to come out in October.
We'll see. So you know, I mean, we went on some tangents there. But did anyone have any other final things to say about the Zack Snyder's Justice League? I know I've talked about it so much with so many people. Like whatever you guys want to point out that you feel like you want to chime in on, please go ahead.
I got one last take, and brace yourselves. I'm gonna compliment Joss Whedon here. There's a scene in his version where Batman is talking about Superman, like saying how like he was more human than he is, like he had a life, and like he's saying, you know, like the world needs Superman, but the team needs Clark. I thought that was like a really well written line, and I'm just kind of like, that's really interesting. However, that's not the Superman.
Yes.
So I'm like. It's so funny because like when I was watching the Zack Snyder film, I was waiting for that scene. And when it never showed up, I was just like, of course Zack Snyder wouldn't have that scene because that's not how he sees Superman.
I agree. That I 100% agree with everything you just said. So the Christopher Reeve Superman is who you're talking about, apparently. I mean, like, even, but you know, Joss Whedon had more of that too. I think stuff there that wasn't in this one was like he was a beacon and all that stuff. I don't think they say that per se in this one. It's more like we got to get him back because he's the strong guy, you know, and that's usually that, like, he's as powerful as Steppenwolf. That's the objective, not like to defeat the darkness, right, of Apocalypse, as they do on Smallville, which apparently means pushing a planet further away from Earth. But so we, everything we love has its problems, okay? But no, I agree with you, Mateo. And also when he's telling the Flash, like, just save one person, you know, I'm like, oh, that's a good, I like that. Like, I don't know who shot that, right? I don't know where that came from. It wasn't in this version.
Well, then you know who shot it.
Well, no, there's some stuff that Snyder shot that, like, he shot for WB, like, the whole, like, playing well with others, and I dig it. Like, I really like that scene, but it's not in,
yeah, you're right.
The Snyder cut. I dig it. Just like a bat. So, yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I will say, though, that even if this did come out in 2017, I think we're looking at this through the lens of it is so much better than Justice League. That I don't think it, but I think if we didn't have Justice League to compare it to, even if it's a trimmed down version that came out theatrically, on the heels of BVS, I still think it's interpreted the same way. I mean, I was in a theater in, you know, in Chicagoland, where that theater is usually packed with no matter what I'm going to, and I was one of, you know, seven people in the theater, and I think people were not excited to see the BVS sequel more so than how bad Justice League was, because I don't think marketing would have been any different with a different version. I think it would have been the same draw.
Well, the first trailer was all Zack Snyder stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that even if it came out in 2017, it would have been, yeah, I mean, it is on the heels of Wonder Woman, but it's still,
I mean, I see your point, but I don't know, like, I think the word of mouth would have been much better, because it would have been a better end product.
I think Snyder fans' word of mouth would have been, it would have been the same ad. I think it would have been the same. People who loved BVS would have loved it. And I think if on the heels, you know, without retrospect and anything, I think if you hated BVS, I think you would have still talked down to this movie the same way you did BVS. It's the same thing, you know, and I think it would have inevitably ended the universe the same way that it did.
What's your take on that, Darren?
I think there's definitely some truth to that notion that the post BVS kind of, especially since it was shot like 2 weeks after like BVS came out, was when they started shooting Justice League. So they kind of jumped right into it. But yeah, and I also agree with the Aquaman scene, that, you know, I dig it. I was really shocked when that wasn't in the Snyder cut, but I do agree with what you're saying, though. I think that's part of it with that coming out. And the reaction might not be exactly the same, but I just think that it's so awesome that after all the time that's gone by and all the money donated to charity for suicide prevention and just how the movie came to be, I think is probably the bigger story to me than the actual movie itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, this is going to be talked about in the film history books forever. I mean, this is just
I think this is the best course of action that it could have taken still, where it came around to coming out this way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, Snyder, I mean, he's on his Army of the Dead press tour now, and he's talking about how, like, they want him to release a work print cut, and I'm like, well, that's, and he's like, no, that's gonna just, it's gonna look bad, and you guys are gonna say, look, I told you it was bad, and, you know, that's, I mean, they really, regardless of what you think about the films, they did him wrong, you know, and every step of the way, and even let's wrap back around to this, right, the Green Lantern stuff, for real, like, I don't understand why, because that would have been a better scene. I mean, a better scene, because it's not the, I have been called the Martian Man, I'm like, who cares, like, you know, you're not, you know, like, I don't understand why they didn't let him use Green Lantern.
You know why. They're not saving him for anything is the problem. They're not going to use him in that new show likely, and they don't want to use Jon Stewart because they don't want to use the original black characters that they have in their catalog.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about, right, Justice League, where it's like, well, they took out, you know, cut down Cyborg, they took out Ryan Choi, right, Iris West isn't it anymore, like, the people of color are marginalized, and yes, I know Martian Manhunter's human form is Harry Lennox, but that's not the conversation here, right? Jon Stewart, the most famous Green Lantern, who is black, They said, take him out. It was filmed. I mean, he Snyder's showing off the final shot, and they're like, take it out. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what their deal is, right? But that is, it's not a good look, WB. Okay. And I think the movie would have been better, and the reception would have been better, and just the surprise factor, because that would have been a huge crowd pleasing moment to finally see Jon Stewart in live action, you know, John Diggle aside. And that's just, I disagree with that choice. And if this is really a self-contained cul-de-sac, like they say, what would have been the harm? Right.
Well, Zach should have just given them the finger and had done it anyway. I mean, like, this was his thing, right? He could have done it, right? And just been like, you know, what? Just been like a total, you know, G about it. But he also didn't.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, there
still,
were certain
it's still
things.
Not, it's still not in the movie. Like even though it's great that he filmed it, but like, I, you know, it's kind of hard to hear him be like, hey guys, look, like it was filmed. It's like, bro, like you got what you wanted. You got to get your vision, right? Don't come back at the end of afterwards on your new press tour for your new thing and be like, hey, this could have been in my movie. He's like, no. We don't, like, let's not start that again. Like, I appreciate that he was going to use him, but like, it didn't end up getting in there. So we don't, like, it's, I mean, they're both sides are kind of at fault from this.
I'm holding off for the Ultimate Edition with the extra Joker.
Stop it.
Scene and Jon Stewart at the end.
Stop.
You want to know what's not a good look for Warner Brothers? Like the fact that they cut Jon Stewart's scene out, and they announced that the lead for their Green Lantern show is Guy Gardner, nobody's favorite Green Lantern.
Yep. I mean, every like, I can tell you, like, anytime, like, you know, there's like news that's coming out of WB, I can tell you exactly what decision they're going to make every single time. And it's the wrong decision. That's what they're going to make.
So yeah, that was fun. Anything else, then we'll wrap it up here. Now's your last chance to ever say anything about Zack Snyder's Justice League. We're never talking about it again.
Bullshit. You're breaking my heart.
No, don't worry, Darren. We got our 4-hour commentary coming and lots of other stuff. So don't worry. So
I think the one somewhat consolation, good thing that came out of all this is the fact that, like, and I kind of thought about this as I finished, like, just thought about all this. Like, we live in a time, especially as Superman fans, where we can choose to, like, which version of Superman we like. Because, like, we have Superman and Lois. And, like, I just thought about this recently. Like, essentially, majority of the Super family is on media right now. Like, hot take real quick. When Supergirl first started, I was honestly a little upset that Makai Brooks, who played Jimmy Olsen in that show, that he wasn't, that they didn't make him Steel. Because I'm like, he's a big dude who later on puts on an all-gray suit. I'm sorry, why? Why didn't they make this happen?
Can the church say amen?
No, really, the fact that Makai Brooks is like twice the size of Tyler Hoechlin is a problem. It is a problem.
Hence why he's no longer on the show.
Ooh.
Well, James is coming over to Superman and Lois, right?
No. Probably not.
But you...
They cannot put them side by side. Are you G Willikers, Mr. Kent?
Jimmy has always been more buff than Superman. That's just a fact.
Yeah. Henry James Olsen, Henry John Irons is what I say. Henry John Irons.
Zach, I have to ask you this. Do you believe the rumors that Rosenbaum and Welling are talking about doing a Smallville show?
Yes, you know, please.
Let me talk about two rumors real quick as we wrap up here. One,
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So one.
I was just throwing it out there, yeah.
That is accurate. I mean, like, Rosenbaum said that on camera. They've mentioned it before. I really think it's either like, I think they really would do it. Rosenbaum's been doing voice acting forever, right? Welling's back on the scene now. Rosenbaum's got him in this. It's like, hey, man, let's just show up, hang out in a sound booth for 2 hours, make money, bro. Like, I mean, sure. And he doesn't have to put on a suit, right? I have no doubt that because his podcast has become more mainstream now. It's on Westwood One, which is where Jim Rome Show is, by the way. So now that's how I know it's legit.
Yep. Jim Rome Show.
Who knows how far along those conversations have gotten. But I do believe that they have tried and are willing to do that. So, and then him putting it out there is trying to get more, which, and it worked, right? So look at all that stuff on the internet that kind of took off. So I actually am hopeful for that. And I think, you know, in a world where Invincible exists and all that, HBO Max are like, well, can we tap into it? What do we have, right? Well, you have Smallville and you have the main two guys who are willing to do it. like they're the only two you need. Like other people, like Erica Durance would do it obviously as well, I believe, because you know she's done Supergirl and all that, so she's all about it. And though, I mean, I want to have Michael McKean, and it's so easy to do animation, right? Show up in a sound booth for my Michael McKean is animated. He was the Joker on Legend of the Dark Knight in the '50s, in the '50s version of that on Batman the Animated Series. So everybody can do it, except for maybe one person. But everybody can do it.
What do you mean? She can hop on a Zoom. They can hook her up with some technology.
Use that one phone call wisely. But seriously, Kristen Bell should be Chloe.
She could just be Power Girl.
Deep cut. Public Enemies deep cut. Yep. I believe that they're trying to do it. And I think it's, but WB's, they make bad decisions. They make bad business decisions. So they probably won't do it. But it's such a, you know, I guess I'm biased, but I feel like there's a great untapped Smallville fandom here that would eat that up, you know? So let's see it.
You need to send them your listenership each month to show them the Smallville fan.
I don't
lose
my numbers. I think it would be very successful. And then, you know, that's how old we are. The nostalgia wave has now gone back to, hey, you guys remember 2001? That's remember Smallville, you know? So I think it's a slam dunk to do it if they chose to do it. And I know, do I think they would adapt the season 11 comics? No, they do a totally original story. You know, they have so much time. They have the time in between the series and the finale, that period, which would be interesting to cover. And then there's, of course, everything after that. You could even, you know, tell the story of how he ends up where he is in Crisis. So, you know, I there's limitless, and it's animation. So you can do anything, right? And as Lance always reminds everyone, animation is just as relevant as live action.
Hashtag respect animation.
So, does that answer your question, Darren?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you. This is an audio medium, so thank you for speaking. As for the other thing I mentioned, rumor. Okay, so I saw this going around. I didn't even post about it. I'm like, this must be some nonsense comic book news, fill in the blank website, just made up story, right? It's like Tom willing to play Superman, and Robert Pattinson's the Batman. I'm like, what? Who said that? This is nonsense, right? So I ignore it for like a week. And then it keeps popping. I'm like, oh, what is it? And then someone posts a YouTube video of Tom Welling himself saying, oh, yeah, I'm friends with Robert. I think it'd be a lot of fun to, you know, play Superman in that. Yeah, I'm like, what? You know, that is infuriating. And it has to be. He says that knowing it'll never happen, I assume, right? Because that's just insulting. Right, because it's like you could have done that on the show and the finale, you could have done it in Crisis, but you're gonna do it with the Batman. Like, and so even though now that I know what happened, I'm not acknowledging it anywhere on any of our social media. I don't want to talk about it. So Darren, he's your favorite actor. What did you think about his take on that?
I didn't even know that was a thing, to be honest. I totally flew under my radar, but I'm with
that's
you.
That's because we didn't report about it on Always On with Smallville, that's why. So
That's probably why, yeah. That's all I do, actually, is I just watch just your... I just listen to your podcast. That's all I do.
No, really, everyone, if the best way to get a good take on any information in the world is to find one news source only and only watch and listen to that news source. So that's what I would recommend to everyone, regardless of what topic you're talking about. That's a joke, by the way. Please don't do that. Please don't live in an echo chamber, okay? No, it's ridiculous that he would say that. And like he has to know that would never happen, but that's the thing about Tom Welling, right? It's like he is the same guy that joked about, hey, I'm gonna be in Arrow season 8 because he heard Arrow was ending, and that was in story for like a month, and then somebody's like, hey Tom, it's what are you talking about? He's like, it's canceled, right? And they're like, no, it has one more season. He just didn't know, so he was screwing with people. So he must think on his mind, he must think that's funny, and that's fine. But I'm like, do people actually be reporting on that? They're like, see, we're going to have Batman v Superman 2.0 with Robert Pattinson and Tom Welling. Now, on that match, I will be will be rooting for Superman, unlike on the other one. I was rooting for Batman. So, anyway, what did you think of that rumor, Mateo?
I mean, I literally was just like, Welling loves to troll the fans. Like he does it over and over again. And I literally just, like, I busted out laughing because I'm like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And like there are legitimate like news sources that I follow that reported this, and I'm like, No one can tell that this guy's joking, right? Because that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, it must have been a slow news day, because there's no validity to, like, this actually going to happen.
And they just assume that Superman would exist in that, you know. He might as well say Christian Bale's going to come back and Tom Holland's going to play that Superman, right? With that kind of, that's the level.
Well, obviously in the Schumacher verse, Superman exists. George Clooney said himself.
This is why Superman works alone.
So. I'll cancel the pizzas.
Yeah, guys. Well, exciting times to be Smallville fans. There's going to be a Smallville animated series, and Tom Welling will be fighting Robert Pattinson's The Batman and Batman versus Superman. Not to be confused with Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. You heard it here first, or maybe last. But yes, that's insane. Hey, last thing here. Speaking of Smallville, right? Did you guys know that Brandon Routh auditioned for Smallville? And he got, like, a callback?
Like, oh, I didn't know he got a callback.
Again, not to throw shade on your favorite actor of all time, Darren, right? But it's like, look. Uh-oh. And I love Tom Welling. Just to a certain degree. But if Brandon Routh had been cast as Clark Kent on Smallville, we would have gotten someone in a Superman costume into the show.
Yep.
All right? Those are the facts. Those are the facts. Because the man is documented. We know he will put on a costume. I would just like to slip into that alternate Earth and check that out and then come back. But that would have been interesting. And then Tom Welling could have been in Superman Returns.
Yeah, and then we could have had Batman in Smallville because the guy from Vampire Diaries would have been Batman,
Adam,
right?
Arkham Adam Knight.
Adam Knight, yeah. I'm blanking at his name. I can't remember his name. I see his face. But...
Ian Somerhalder, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And Jason Teague, Jensen Ackles is finally voicing Batman in the Long Halloween animated show. So, it's all connected.
I'm trying to picture Brandon Routh as a Smallville freshman season one. That's
look at Tom Welling. How is it any different?
Look at Crisis. Brandon Routh looks at least 10 years younger than Tom Welling.
He actually is 2 years younger than him. So he would have been only 22 playing a 15-year-old. As opposed to 25. I am now the age that Tom Welling was in the Smallville series finale. All right, that is.
I've watched Tom in as Clark so many years, so many times. I'm just desensitized to it. I don't even like care or like notice that he's like a 23-year-old playing a 14-year-old.
Well, you see his Kryptonian DNA. He's, you know what I mean?
You just made me realize that I'm the age that he was when Smallville started.
Did you know that I was the same age as Clark Kent on Smallville? Joe, did you know that?
I knew that was Clark.
I think I've heard it once or twice.
The thing is, Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum have this great chemistry, you know, and they become, you know, friends. And I mean, it's so it's hard to, like, you can't just change one thing, right? And be like, oh, you know, right? Like, if you put Brandon Routh in there, who knows what the... what the show was like, and I don't know. I mean, like, it all worked out for the best, because I think Tom Welling played all these other shades of Clark much better than, you know, than Brandon Routh might have. Because I think I love Brandon Routh as Superman. He's a great Ray Palmer, but he has a very specific range. Like, even on the Nine Lives of Christmas, Lance, right?
Yes, that is correct. Okay. Cinema.
He's the same guy. He's the same, but that's why he's great, because he pretty much he Clark Kent Superman guy, right? So he's like that episode of Legends where he's wearing the glasses. I'm like, oh, this is so good. We're gonna use this in fan trailers one day. It's gonna be fantastic. But but no, I'm regardless of me talking about the wearing a costume or not, I'm happy with Tom being Clark on Smallville for 10 years. So, all right, y'all. Well, that was a lot of fun talking about the Snyder Cut and a few odds and ends there at the end. Talking about Smallville on these things. Well, we're gonna have to get back to that. On these level 33.1s, but it's fun. Glad we could all have a fun conversation about everything. Everybody go watch Snyder Cut in Black and White. Tell us what you thought. And when it comes out on physical media, that is when Lance and I will have our four-hour commentary on Zack Snyder's Justice League. Always fun talking to you guys. Let's go around and tell everybody where to find you online. Darren, where can people find you out there on the internet?
You can find me on most social media. My main ones I use are probably Twitter or Vero under my name, Darren Kirsch or Darren Kirsch 16.
All right. What about you, Joey?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13. You at this point of the year, usually talking about how Justin Fields is going to make the Bears win the Super Bowl next year, and I'm probably going to be crying about it in a few months. So that's where I'm at right now. It's ebbs and flows.
Very good. And what about you, Mateo?
You guys can find me at on Twitter at MattSantiago88, and then on Facebook at Matt Jarrell Santiago. Check out both those pages. I wrote like a full essay on my thoughts of the Snyder Cut. If you guys want to hear more,
look at that.
What I
think. Smart plug.
Try my best.
And what about you, Lance?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can also find me on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
All right. Well, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter. I've got some other podcasts going on UFP Earth. You can find us on Twitter over there. And then for the podcast here, Always Smallville with one S, Always Hold On to Smallville on Facebook. But until next time,
always
hold on to Smallville. Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Darren Kirst, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Nathan Rothatcher, Jordan Brenneman, Casey Cochran, Nathan McKenzie, Jason Skipper, Tim Miller, Steve Rogers, Joe McIndoe, Atif Sheep, Molly Ficarella, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Patrick Bravo, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob Stevenart, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Becca Zeifel, Jacob, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Migueli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.